for.
The most important thing about paintings themselves is that their images are silent, still.
Marking the 50th anniversary of Ways of Seeing, John Berger's landmark TV series and book.
He stepped up, cut a piece out of a sacred artwork, grabbed us by the lapels with the seductive and polemical intensity of his gaze.
Five writers on ways of looking at pictures.
Up he went, a golden particle, clambering into the unscripted blue.
Viewfinders, Ways of Seeing at 50, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, each morning this week at 9:45.
Mike gets his paintbrush out and Pat glosses over some glitches, the Archers, in half an hour here on BBC Radio 4.
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us from the city of Salford, known throughout the world as Manchester, only rougher. Nowadays, Manchester is probably best known as the undisputed capital of the North with its connections to the finance and media industries. In any great city, however, there's always an underclass of people who fail to thrive and struggle to make ends meet without, in most cases, resorting to a life of criminality. In traditional Indian society, such people are referred to as untouchable. In China, they're known as hoku, and in Manchester, the term used is Liverpool. Manchester's most famous musical export is the Smiths. Legend has it the band took its name from a W.H. Smiths in Salford. Coincidentally, the shop next door also helped define the Smiths' musical style, although that particular branch of Wimpy is now sadly closed. The Football League was founded in Manchester in 1888. Back then, trades and professions formed teams and would play each other on a weekly basis. Of course, even then, internal squabbles would surface. In 1890, fans of Manchester Glassworkers United were unhappy with the way the owners were running their club and started the first ever Glaziers Must Go campaign. The nearby Northern Imperial War Museum commemorates the Manchester Blitz of World War II, when over 2,000 incendiary bombs were dropped in just 24 hours. The giant modernist structure, which stands on Trafford Wharf, has been described as impossible to miss. Well, that was certainly the opinion of the Luftwaffe in 1940. But the Luftwaffe are not alone in coming all this way and bombing. Let's meet the teams. On my right, please welcome John Coleshaw and Milton Jones. And on my left, John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine. And taking her place at the desk next to me to enjoy an evening of scoring, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with some new additions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. A good dictionary is essential for learning the subtle difference between words. For example, many people don't understand the subtle difference in meaning between acquiesce and concur. Well, acquiesce means to agree to something, often unwillingly, whereas concur is a French chestnut. But the meanings of words are constantly changing, teams, so your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. John Finnemore, you can start.
Cabaret. Taxi rank.
Vicky Pepperdine.
Carpe diem. It's 24-hour parking.
John Coleshaw.
Algorithm. The dancing style of a former vice president.
And Milton Jones.
Somerset. Mixed results for Jelly Factory.
Orchid. Mancunian's child.
Cack-handed, shortage of toilet paper.
Sorry.
An ounce, just over 28 grams.
Belarus, Toys R Us for bells.
Norwich, a Scottish person of limited wealth.
Pioneer, messy eater.
Clarity, like a Bordeaux.
Sycophant, an elephant with a cold.
Entomb, Egyptian boy band.
Cameroon, coconut biscuit in shape of former prime minister.
Hydrocortisone cream. What Hydro did after Hydro picked his own strawberries.
Poodle, light-hearted dirty protest. Sorry.
Winchester, unusual lottery prize.
Electron, vote for Ronald.
Spectate, a very small art gallery.
Okay, the teams are going to play a round of charades, the popular parlor game where participants are obliged to mime the title of a well-known book, show, or film. Mime is one of the hardest art forms to master, and the obstacles to making it today as a professional mime artist are considerable. Many aspiring mimes spend years training, only to find they still can't break through the glass wall. In our version of the game, entitled Sound Charades, team members are permitted the use of their mouths. So, John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
The Larkins. The Larkins.
Off you go, please, John and Vicky.
This is a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And it has two words.
Morning, Philip.
Morning, Mother. I just want you to know you and Dad have effed me right up. I know you didn't mean to, but you did.
Oh, that's nice, dear. Weetabix.
What's the point in Weetabix when oblivion is inevitable? And every second brings me closer to the hour when I shall die.
Well, never mind, Philip. Try and look on the bright side.
There is no bright side. There's only one side to human existence, and it's a side of black, unrelenting doom.
Well, it is nearly 1963.
So?
So, all we have to do is wait for the end of the Chatterley ban and the Beatles' first LP, and then we can all get laid.
Oh. Perfect.
Well, I thought that was Marvin the Paranoid Android from Hitchhiker's Guide for a few moments.
Is it? Philip Larkin.
Ooh. And?
And Mrs. Larkin.
Making up?
The Larkins.
Okay, your turn, John Culshaw and Milton Jones. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board. And once again, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Angela's Ashes. Angela's Ashes.
We should say it's a book and a film.
Two words. And here she comes to bowl over the wicket.
How's that? She's done it! It's all over!
Yes, quite remarkable. She's almost single-handedly beaten the Australians.
Well done, Mrs. Lansbury.
Thank you.
Angela's Ashes.
Well done, yeah. Well done, well done. Well, our next round is called Celebrity Animal Smugglers. Now, it's well known that the people of Manchester love animals, and many Mancunians regularly visit nearby Chester Zoo. The zoo famously made the headlines in 1994 following a visit by the Manchester United squad when, due to an unfortunate electrical malfunction, the door to the tiger enclosure opened in front of Captain Roy Keane. After a dreadful mauling, the keepers did eventually manage to pull the tiger to safety. So in Celebrity Animal Smugglers, John Culshaw and Milton Jones will be animal smugglers, and John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine will be customs officers whose job it is to discover the smuggled animals. However, John and Milton will be smuggling these animals skillfully concealed in their conversation with one another. So John and Vicky must not only identify the smuggled animals by name, but also, and to score points, challenge by making the noise of the animal in question. All understood?
I have a quick question, actually, Jack.
Yes, go on then.
Do we buzz? What?
Someone in the audience.
What did they say?
Someone in the audience said, only if you're a bee.
Yeah. I love that.
I know. Security, can we have you buzz in and then you give the noise, please. Yeah.
Good.
Only if you're a bee. Are you ready, customs officers John and Vicky? Then
yes.
Please let's start the animal smuggling now, John and Milton.
Hello, Gwen.
Hi, Ina.
So, Vicky came in.
A hyena. I actually genuinely don't know how they sound.
That's your normal laugh.
That's true.
Yes, well spotted, well spotted.
Have you got anything to eat? Some quinoa?
Sounds a bit hip.
A pot of mousse?
Oh, Vicky's coming in again.
Well, it's hippopotamus.
Yes.
And they laugh. So I believe.
You sound like a dolphin now.
Yeah, they...
I can't give you a point for a hippopotamus sounding like that. I think you need to do a bit more.
Okay,
of
can
a...
I pass to my teammate?
Yes, absolutely.
John, John's would you
begging
like
he
to
wants to have a go.
Sure.
John Finnemore. Okay, you've cleared your throat. Can we have the noise now?
Which end of the hippo was that?
Somewhere in the middle.
Back to you, John Culshaw and Milton.
I'll have four.
What's a lot to ask for?
Oh, Vicky again.
Well, it's ocelot, and again.
Oh, yes. This will be interesting.
I'm going to pass to my teammate. Right.
Yes.
I only know how to titillate an ocelot. You oscillate it, titillate.
Fair point.
I suppose we could probably let that pass as a noise of some sort. Yeah, but we'll let it go. Back to you, John and Milton.
I'd like to be a millionaire, but my CV is a mere catalogue of failures.
Oh, John Finnemore.
Oh, look over there. Look over there. It's a predator.
Yes, yes. Very realistic meerkat. Although they do have Eastern European accents.
But you speak German, don't you?
Jawohl.
Well, of course.
Vicky.
It's a vole.
Yeah.
To voice it, I would probably go.
Oh, yes.
Maybe that. Maybe that.
That's good. That's perfectly good. Very good vole sound.
Thank you.
Well, of course, I invented a cooling down device for beards.
Goatees.
Yeah, that's right. A sort of chinchilla.
Vicky's back in.
I'm sorry.
Oh, so quick
I'm
at this.
Sorry,
you're so,
I'm so
yeah.
goatees.
Ah.
And chinchilla.
Oh.
Chinchillas, they have sort of baths and dust, don't they? And I think it's a sort of voice.
Like the hippopotamus, you mean?
Very much resembling the hippopotamus. I believe they come from the same family.
No. Good. Okay. And have we got goat?
Bat.
Listen, I must get your number. Do you have a pen, Gwen?
John Finnemore. Yes, OK, I'll let you have that. Anything, really. OK, well, well done. Thank you very much for those. And OK, let's try that the other way around. This time, John and Milton will be the customs officers, and John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine, the smugglers. However, John and Vicky are notorious celebrity smugglers, and their conversation will conceal the names of well-known people. So again, John and Milton, to score points, you must challenge by using the noises these particular well-known people all make. OK, so off you go, please.
Well, officers, as you can see, I am simply wearing my lightweight raincoat, my cool Mac, entirely free from hidden celebrities.
John Culshaw.
Michael McIntyre, it was sort of tucked away in there. Sort of tucked away in the syllables, bolted together. And then you spot them and you sort of see the name.
Very good, well done.
Yes, so we've just flown in from Italy. Oh, remember that cosy time we had in Florence? Mm. Night in, gale blowing outside.
Oh, Milton Jones.
I've just come back from the war and I'm releasing a single tomorrow, Cry Me a River.
Oh, well, bonus point, I think, for that.
And by all means, you can search our luggage. We're traders in novelty goods, such as this little pottery model of a pint of stout. We call it our ceramic Guinness.
John Culshaw.
I love the elegance of that delivery. The force is very strong with you, Darth Finnemore.
Fine, very good.
And, of course, these are our biggest sellers, what we call in the trade garden miniature hominids, or, to the layman, gnomes.
Yeah, just in there, let's take a look at that. I think that was Eamon Holmes there. It's 7:45. These are the stories you're waking up to.
So, actually, these model fish sell very well in America. We get a dollar a trout and a nickel a sturgeon.
I don't really do Nicola Sturgeon, so... I'll just go to the next station along and be Billy.
And these are just parts for building a doll's house, so there's nothing illegal about that, I hope, unless doors and windows are contraband.
John.
Well, the power of that inserted pun just reverberated around this auditorium. Like a boiled sweet crashing into a rotted molar.
Nearly done, that's almost everything. Oh, except, of course, for this haunch of prosciutto we bought in Naples. But the Napoli ham bone apart, we have nothing to declare.
I can do Wellington. Gentlemen, at the Battle of Waterloo, let us put down our weapons. Let us find a quiet pub, decent food, open fire.
Well done, all. Well, our next game is called Complete Cards. In this round, the teams will attempt to complete the verses taken from some genuine greeting cards. So, John Finnemore, you can start, please. And can you finish off this one? It's a Christmas card. See the Christmas pudding with holly on the top, with raisins, figs and brandy. I'll eat so much, I'll pop. We made a wish as we mixed it up, just like we always do.
So we won't be seeing you this year, assuming it comes true.
Oh, it's we love our Christmas pudding so much that we made two. Vicky, can you finish off this one? It's a birthday card rhyme. Because today's so special, it really wouldn't do to send one simple birthday wish to last the whole year through, so...
I won't.
It goes, so this wishes happy moments, a day when dreams come true, and a year that's filled with all the things that mean the most to you. So I hope that comes with a bucket. John Culshaw, can you finish this one off, please? It's an apology card. I'm sorry that I let you down and caused you so much pain. I promise that I will improve, not let you down again. My actions, they were selfish, full of stupidity and greed, but
I did get Brexit done.
It's that your love and understanding is the one thing that I need. Please forgive me. She might hang on to that. Milton, this is for you. Can you complete? It's a bereavement card. When someone dies, a light goes out. An empty chair remains.
So, can I have the chair?
Well, in actual reality, it was, but their memory stays inside your head and their love your heart retains. You again, please, John Finnemore. This is a third birthday card. Little boy Blue is blowing his horn. He knows it's your birthday morn. And what's the tune we can hear him play?
He's crap at the horn, so who can say?
Why, it's happy returns on your third birthday. How about this one, Vicky? It's a 21st birthday card. You've been a source of love and pride since you were just a boy, and we would like to tell you...
You're adopted!
How you bring us endless joy. John Culshaw, how about this one? It's a bereavement card for you to finish off this one. Don't break your heart for me. I'm really not far away. And although you cannot see me...
I am behind you.
Yeah. I'm with you every day. I'm a dead control freak. Milton, how about this? Second birthday card. The Toy Town bus has stopped for you. There's one more seat inside.
But we won't be going far today because someone's glued themselves to the road.
It's actually with birthday wishes. Greetings to climb in and join the ride. All right, here's some for any of you to have a go at, all right? So this one's a marriage card. Marriage is a special bond where two lives join as one.
But car keys placed in fruit bowls, something different's going on.
It says, may all the years you spend together make your love go on and on. And what about this one? It's a missing you from church card. I get them every week. Here we go. We want to let you know that we've not seen you for a while. We've noticed that you've not been here. We've missed your friendly smile. We think of you so very much. You're in our Sunday prayer.
But you are the sodding vicar, so you really should be there.
It actually finished. We hope that you'll come back into the fellowship we shared. Finally, this one's a Christmas card. Christmas comes but once a year, a time of joy and laughter.
Last year we had venison. Santa couldn't get home after.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show. But there is just time to fit in a quick round called Own Brand Condoms. In the 1970s, a packet of condoms from the barbers would set you back about 50 pence. And today, a packet of three typically retails at £6.99. And if you're worried about inflation, then you're putting them on wrong. In anticipation of the predicted rise in sexual activity during lockdown, many high street retailers and other well-known brands decided to manufacture and market their own condoms, but without changing their usual advertising strap lines. So, teams, I'd like you please to provide examples of some of these famous new brand condoms together with the accompanying advertising slogans. You can start this one, Vicky.
Radio Times condoms. If it's on, it's in.
John Culshaw.
Pedigree Chum condoms. Top breeders recommend it.
John Finnemore.
Churchill Insurance condoms.
Oh, yes.
Milton.
Maynard Winegum's condoms. There's juice loose about this hoose.
Found your level, haven't we?
Burger King condoms, home of the Whopper.
Gordon's gin condoms, shall we?
Audi condoms, Vorsprung Dick Technik.
Vicks nasal spray condoms. Of course you can, Malcolm.
Cadbury's Boost condoms. They're slightly rippled with a flat underside.
Domestos condoms gets right under the rim.
One firm actually did change their strapline. Yodel Delivery Service. With our condoms, your wife won't have a baby, but a woman in Macclesfield you've never met probably will.
French Communist Party condoms. Seize the means of production.
Cadbury's condoms may contain nuts.
Jolly Green Giant condoms. Ho, ho, ho.
Duracell condoms. Do you have the bunny inside?
I've got a feminist one, Jack.
Good, oh, good. Might I was like. Hoping you would.
Yeah. Shake and vac femidons. When your carpet smells fresh, your room does too.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the trusty trawler of time is impounded by the fickle Frenchman of fate, and the outstretched orchards of austerity remain untrammeled by the Polish fruit pickers of posterity. I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Salford, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
John Finnemore, Vicky Pepperdine, Milton Jones, and John Colshaw were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Fraser Steele and Stephen Dick, and the producer was John Naismith.
That was the last in that series, but of course, John